a very good evening to you. Welcome along to another Sweet and Swing here on Manx Radio. I'm Howard Kane. A pleasure as always to have your company on a Friday evening. What have we got? How about a bit of the old Hammond organist entertaining us, Robin Richmond? Bob Crosby and the Bobcats are here. Charlie Kuntz with one of his medleys. To get us going, I've got a gal somewhere. Just can't remember where.
She's a toast
of Kalamazoo, zoo, 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 zoo.
Years have gone by.
My, how she grew.
I liked her looks when I carried her books
in Kalamazoo, zoo, 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 zoo.
I'm gonna send a wire hopping on a flight.
Leaving today.
Am I dreaming? I can hear screaming.
Hiya, Mr. Jackson. Everything's okay. K-A-L-A-M-A-C-O. Oh, what a gal. A real pifferoo.
I'll make my bid for that freckle-faced kid I'm hurrying to.
I'm going to Michigan to see the sweetest girl
in Kalamazoo.
You probably don't need me to tell you. It was Glenn Miller, of course. Who else? Yes, I know. You're way ahead of me. Girl in Kalamazoo. Gal in Kalamazoo, to be more exact. Marion Hutton and the Modernaires taking the vocals. And Glenn Miller, well, perhaps one of the most famous of the big bands coming through the sort of swinging big band era. rightly so, he just had one of those sounds, didn't he? I was thinking away. He's a bit like a sort of an early Pat Metheny, if you'll excuse the comparison. Pat Metheny, the guitarist now, well, I don't know, I think he's 70 or something now, Pat. Still going strong, although I noticed he had a bit of a health issue the other day on touring Japan somewhere, but hopefully he's okay again. But the main thing is he has that sort of music which crosses genres, and so whilst I know lots of people who like Pat Metheny who aren't in the least interested in jazz or jazz guitar or modern jazz, the same way with Glenn. He might not be into big bands or swing music or anything along those lines, but Glenn Miller, just universally popular. The sounding, the voicings, the lyrics perhaps sometimes, the catchy songs, Chattanooga, or I've Got a Girl in Kalamazoo, or String of Pearls, or Moonlight Serenade, Tuxedo Junction. They're just universally popular and will remain so, I imagine, for certainly all my life and way beyond, I would think. Glenn himself, born in Iowa on March the 1st of 1904, took trombone lessons, but his family did all they could to make him study. Went into university, joined Ben Pollock's band as a trombone player, and then went on in the late 20s and early 30s to play with Benny Goodman and Red Nichols and also the Dorsey Brothers before becoming the chief arranger of Ray Noble's band. And then 1937 or thereabouts, set up his first orchestra and recorded for Decca Brunswick. But after a few months in New Orleans, he was forced to break up the band for, yes, usual problem, no money, and then tried again a bit later in 1938, and this time he's surrounded by excellent musicians. And whilst he was practically unknown in 1938, he had a great success in the spring of 39 when war was breaking out in Europe, and his chance came when he recorded two themes on the same record, later to achieve fame as Moonlight Serenade and Sunrise Serenade, and then later on recorded In the Mood for RCA Victor. And then he was away, I think, doing a whole lot of broadcasts, which we featured before, I think, here on Sweet and Swing, sponsored by Chesterfield. Don't smoke, children, it's not good for you. They continued through until the early 1940s. And then, of course, famously in 1944, came to England, gave concerts for the American troops, played on with the BBC or recorded for the BBC, and then on the 15th of December 1944, a year or so before the end of the war, in London, with another officer of the American Air Force, got into a small plane bound for Paris and almost certainly, sadly, came down over the channel, whether it was conditions, wind or enemy action, who knows, probably just bad conditions and wartime years. Could have been anything, but sadly, almost certainly came down over the channel. A lot of great music, though, happily, he left behind. We're going from Girls in Kalamazoo and Thoughts of Planes. Oh, just looking out the window in a rather misty harbour where there may or may not be some sort of dreamboat. Or maybe it's just the Ben McCree, I don't know.
Harbor of dreamboats anchored on moonlight.
Dogtown Blues. Bob Crosby and the Bobcats Orchestra back in about 1939. I was just trying to look for the date on that. But I think that was recorded around about Los Angeles, 1939. It was indeed. And Bob Crosby, well, interesting story behind sort of how they got together, in that he, along with several others back in the 1930s, were ex-members of a band led by Ben Pollock. And they always liked Ben's musical talent and the band they were playing with, but they became very disheartened by the fact that he was absolutely obsessed with the band's vocalist, who revelled in the name of Doris Hobbins. Yeah, I know. Not a natural vocalist's name, Doris Hobbins, is it? But there we go. Doris Hobbins she was, and a very good vocalist from all accounts. But this rankled the rest of the band members that he paid her all the attention and none to them whatsoever. And they didn't let it get into a her or us situation, but instead, what they decided to do was, all the disappointed musicians, they they paid a dawn visit to Ben Pollock's Californian home, left all their band music on his doorstep, and made a resolve to travel over to the other coast of the States, a bit bigger than the Isle of Man, so it takes a bit longer, to try their luck in New York. And it was a bit of a ragtag thing. They didn't have much money, so old jalopies and trains and whatever, Ben Pollock's orphans, they became known as, struggled their way to the Big Apple, hopefully fortified in the knowledge that their scheme to form a big band, and they could then play undiluted Dixieland. And this sort of kept them going, this idea, this dream. Their collective enthusiasm slightly blunted when they discovered that the New York band agents were united in their belief the American public weren't ready for a jazz revival. But this discouragement didn't stop them rehearsing their unique brand of music. And they started off in rehearsal rooms in the evenings, play wherever they could just in order to make ends meet. And then word spread around the grapevine and several famous jazzmen dropped in to admire the band's efforts. And eventually, Frank Cork O'Keefe, a renowned band booker, asked the group's spokesman, saxist Gil Rodden, to come to his office to discuss prospects. And it was O'Keefe who was adamant that the band needed a front man, insisting that no matter how spirited the music was, it would need a skillful presentation. And a short list of possible band leaders was compiled, and it soon became obvious that the ideal candidate was Bing Crosby's younger brother, Bob, who'd been singing with the Dorseys, or the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra. And hence, off they went to become the Bob Crosby and the Bobcats. Before that, a bit of Ambrose, which was rather nice as well. I enjoyed that. There's a theatre, the harbour of dream boats. Taking the vocals there was another one of these, well done, if you know, Len Camber, not as well known as some, sang with Geraldo from the war periods onwards. The curious thing about him was that Len Camber, along with Lou Stone's blind singer Peter Gray, was banned for a time during the war. Not because he did anything wrong, but because his voice was considered temporarily unsuitable for broadcasting during wartime itself. Why? Well, I don't know. Perhaps you do. And if you do, let me know. Howard Kane at manxradio.com. C-A-I-N-E. I'd love to hear from you. As always, with any thoughts or answers to some of these queries that I don't know the answer to. So if you do, if you've read about it, or you know about it in any case, let me know. Why was Len Camber temporarily suspended? I say he would have been suspended, I think, for all the war years, but for the fact that there was a great public outcry and this ban was rescinded. And then later on he went on to tour in a double act with Terry Devon. But I mean, what makes your voice suitable or unsuitable for singing during wartime? Answers on a postcard, please. Or email howardcane@manxradio.com if you know the answer to that one. Or if you would like to use a postcard, just write to Howard, Sweet and Swing, Manx Radio, Broadcasting House, Douglas Head, Douglas in the Isle of Man, and the postcode IM15BW. great Errol Garner at the piano, Eddie Calhoun on bass, and Kelly Martin at the drums. A foggy day in London town. Well, of course, typically it's not foggy in London at all. It's glorious in London, and warm and summery, as it should be, because it's summer. It is foggy on the Isle of Man, of course, where sometimes the weather gods, Manannan or otherwise, don't seem to realise it's summer. And so we have a couple of days you think summer's arrived, and then suddenly autumn comes back for twice the number of days. So don't get me going. Probably best not. But it was foggy yesterday. It was foggy today. It's been misty. It's not been super warm. And it's been very windy. Blowing my sweet peas over. That's all you need to know. Right, rant over. We're going from one pianist to another. A rapid jump from Errol Garner to Donald Swann. Best known, of course, by a country mile for his work with Flanders, Michael Flanders, Flanders and Swann, the canoe, mud, glorious mud, the transport up to light, the gas man cometh, all those wonderful review songs. But he had a hankering for a bit of jazz, and he became friendly with Digby Fairweather. And as he says in the liner notes to this album, Swann in Jazz. When Digby's appeared in my life in 1984, it illuminated a new path. His idea that I should encounter jazz in some of my songs was a surprise. Jazz has featured in some of my review songs, but I never expected to play jazz, he says, as itself. Nevertheless, when he said he wanted to play in to the Slow Train song, I heard it at once in my mind. And here it is.
Millersdale for Tideswell, Kirby Muxlow, Mow Cop and Scholar Green. No more will I go to Blandford Forum and Mordio on the slow train from Midsummer Norton and Mumby Road. No churns, no porter, no cat or a seat at Chawton, Come Hardy or Chesterler Street. We won't be meeting again on the slow train. I'll travel no more from Littleton Badsey to Openshaw. At Longstanton I'll stand well clear of the doors no more. No whitewashed pebbles, no up and no down, from Formby Four Crosses to Dunstable Town. I won't be going again on the slow train. On the main line and the good siding, the grass grows high at Dogdyke, Tumby Woodside and Trouble House Halt. The sleepers sleep at Audlem and Ambergate. No passenger waits on Chittering platform or Cheslin Hay. No one departs, no one arrives from Selby to Goole, from St. Erth to St. Ives. They've all passed out of our lives on the slow train. On the slow train. Cockermouth for Buttermere. On the slow train. Armley Moor Arran, Pie Hill and Summercoats. On the slow train. Windmill End.
recorded live, as you can tell there. Donald Swan at the piano and Digby Fairweather on muted trumpet with a slightly jazzed version of their classic The Slow Train. Wonderful. It's a really lovely melody, that, actually. A cracking song. The lyrics are brilliant. The melody's really good. It's played beautifully and always very effectively sung by Donald Swan, or sort of half sung, half spoken, isn't it? And actually, it's rather nice with Digby adding some jazz there. It's got that lovely haunting feel of times gone by and things lost never to return, hasn't it? Enjoyed that very much, Lee. Hope you're enjoying this evening. It is Sweet and Swing, of course, with myself, H, through until the top of the hour. Always a pleasure to have your company. And as I say, drop me a line anytime, howardcaine@maxradio.com, if you'd like to hear anything more sweet, more swing, or anything in between. Or perhaps a bit of this man, Cab Calloway.
Folks, now here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red-hot hoochie-coocher. She was the roughest, toughest rail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a hay whale. Howdy, howdy, ho!
Howdy, howdy, ho!
Howdy, howdy, ho!
Howdy, howdy,
ho! Howdy, howdy, ho! Howdy, howdy, ho!
Howdy, howdy, ho!
Howdy, howdy, ho.
Howdy, howdy, ho.
Now she messed around with a bloke named Smokey. She loved him though he was cokey. He took her down to Chinatown. He showed her how to kick the gong around.
Showed her how to kick the gong around.
Howdy, ho.
Howdy, ho.
Howdy,
hi, hi. Howdy, hi, hi.
Howdy, weevil.
Howdy, weevil.
Howdy, howdy,
howdy, howdy, howdy.
Now she had a dream about the King of Sweden. He gave her things that she was needing. He gave her a home built of gold and steel, from diamond car with a platinum wheel. Waddy woody way,
waddy woody way.
Oh baby,
oh baby,
wanna be with you,
wanna be with you.
Howdy ho,
howdy ho.
Now he gave her his townhouse and his racing horses. Each meal she ate was a dozen courses. She had $1 million worth of nickels and dimes, and she sat around and counted them all a million times. Howdy, howdy,
howdy, howdy.
Oh, many,
oh, many.
Howdy, way,
howdy, way.
Cab Calloway, Minnie the Moocher. Minnie the Moocher, well, moocher being a sort of American slang for someone who constantly asks others for money. Or a bit of a leech, I think, or, you know, is always taking advantage of someone's generosity. And, yeah, I think there's a bit of sort of sexual tension there as well, isn't there? A sort of a hoochie-coochie dance, a rather suggestive dance. So, well, make of that what you will, is all I can say. Great song, though, and Cab Calloway. Recording almost sounds a bit murky on that one. I should find a clearer recording somewhere along the line. It'd be rather nice, wouldn't it? How about a bit of Ken Snakehips Johnson? Maybe a lovely guy, Ken Snakehips. It's sort of a chap you'd love to have met. He was lovely too. He's a great band leader. He was a good mover. He was a good musician. He was great to his colleagues and was meant to be all-round nice chap if you ever met him. Sadly, like I said, killed during the war, so I'm afraid he didn't live his 70 years. But again, plenty of great music left behind, like this.
Thank you.
Well, you probably recognise the tune Mood Indigo, played by its composer, Duke Ellington, and his orchestra. Live, as you can gather, a couple of live ones this evening. Makes a nice change, doesn't it? May the 31st. So, no, a bit beyond that, aren't we? 1964. So I was knocking around when that one was recorded. Still in the pram, I think, but I'll be two or thereabouts. Live at the Holiday Ballroom in Chicago from a selection of Duke's music, or Duke's play standards, a lot of which he penned himself. And the orchestra, well, one of the classic Ellington lineups, the likes of Lawrence Brown on trombones, Cat Anderson and Cootie Williams on trumpets, Harry Carney on baritone, Paul Gonsalves tenor, Johnny Hodges on alto, Jimmy Hamilton on clarinet and sax, Duke, of course, himself, and Sam Woodyard at the drums. What's not to like? Wonderful sound, never tire of Duke, and I love the fact that his music spanned right from the early times at the Cotton Club through to, like I said, if you've never listened to Money Jungle and you like something a bit more modern, like on Jumping In. And I know not everyone here is going to enjoy that, but I hope if I can enjoy music at both ends of the spectrum, then there must be others as well. So my love mainly lies in the modern stuff, but I've grown to love so much of this wonderful music from the swing and big band era and the incredible characters who produced it that I love them both, really. And things like Glenn's music and Duke's music just transcend boundaries, don't they? I mean, they're just universally popular, wonderful stuff. And Duke, as I say, right from really early, almost pre-swing music, through the swing, the big band era, the wonderful sweets he did, terrific, some of those, any of those, never mind some of those, particular favourite being the Far East Suite for me, and then the modern side of things, so with John Coltrane, the album there, terrific, and my favourite, Money Jungle, with Max Roach on the drums, Charlie Mingus at the bass. Absolutely terrific stuff. Right, two medleys for the price of one coming up now. First off, the Hammond organist entertains Robin Richmond at the said instrument, playing a medley of Dreaming and then Valse Bleue, and then we'll segue, just as Charlie Kuntz himself does, straight into a little medley of Charlie Kuntz at the keyboard. Here we go. Thank you. What a way to end. Charlie Coons at the keyboard. Like I said, two medleys to the price of one there. First off, Mr. Richmond entertaining at the organ, followed, segueing seamlessly straight into, relatively seamlessly, into Charlie Coons at the keyboard with his own medley. Did you get them? Top marks if you got all three, and you can have 90% if you got any one of the three. He started with Silver Wings in the Moonlight and followed up with I'd Like to Set You to Music, and finished off with Johnny Zero. It's almost zero time for us left, I think. Time for one more, if I don't rabbit on too much. Although, I don't know, I think I've heard this one before. You know, I sworn I had heard it before, and I was right after all. Helen Forrest finishing off this evening our Sweet and Swing for this week. Jumping in next week. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Look after yourselves. I'll see you then. Cheerio.